Welcome back to another episode of Top Comment Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Tomasso, and this episode of Top Comment is brought to you by the workshop I just made with my friends at Moment. A few months ago, the folks at Moment reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to make a workshop all about sound? And I was like, that sounds fun. And then fast forward a few months and I made a workshop all about sound. So if you're looking to get crispy audio for your projects, you can watch that workshop. I do a deep dive into how I record audio, how I do stuff for the podcast, how I do voiceovers. And my favorite section is a whole moment, there's a pun for you, is a whole moment, I don't know why I keep saying moment, there's a whole section in the workshop about how I record audio on set. So how I use C-stands, how I use different microphones. It was sponsored by Shure as well, so all the gear within that episode is Shure gear, and actually a lot of the Shure gear that we use is fantastic. Actually, all of the Shure gear that we use is fantastic. And everyone knows like the Shure SM7B is the go-to podcast microphone, but there are other mics that they have a shotgun microphone. They have this little MV51 Plus, which is like a USB microphone that I really like. And then they have the MV88 Plus, which is an awesome microphone that you can use with your smartphone. It just plugs right into your iPhone. Check out the workshops. A lot of fun. We did a Q&A after as well. A few days ago with all the people that watched the lessons, which that was a lot of fun. And speaking of Q&As and all that, I have been playing a little bit. I tested out doing a live stream last week because I had this whole setup kind of going for the Moment Q&A. And I was like, hey, I don't actually hate this. This is pretty cool. So might be doing more live stuff with Top Comment, or at least on my Twitter account, I guess. And then we'll see perhaps if we kind of move that into YouTube. But if you guys have questions, if anybody wants to talk or just chat, I think live streaming is a cool way to do that. And now I have a whole new setup to do that pretty easily. There's no guests. There's no anything kind of happening special on this episode today. I just wanted to check in with you and have a little bit of a conversation about some stuff that's going on in my life, things that are on my mind, what's interesting, what's not interesting. I don't know. We're just going to kind of go with the flow, stream of consciousness here, and see where this kind of ends up. I suppose one of the major things that's happened recently was the WWDC. So if you're an Apple tech fan, some pretty cool announcements have come out. So probably the big one being that Apple's going to move to their own silicone, which means like if you had an iPad Pro or just your iPhone has its own chip in it that Apple makes, and those same style of chips are going to be coming to computers, which is absolutely amazing because I have been holding off on upgrading my MacBook Pro for years now. I'm still using a mid-2015 MacBook Pro Core, whatever, i7, I don't know. It's got the onboard graphics. Everyone says it's a piece of crap, but hey, guess what? I edit, I do everything on this computer. I do Blackmagic Pocket 4K, I do Fuji XT3 4K, I do GH5 4K, and I don't have a whole bunch of issues, except for when you use 10-bit footage. When I use 10-bit footage, that thing just kind of crawls to a halt. And so I've been like eyeing the 16-inch MacBook Pro, but at the same time, I keep reading all these reviews and watching all these reviews. Then I have friends with the actual 16-inch MacBook Pro too that are like, yeah, it's a really great computer, but now around the corner, we're looking at these brand new ARM-based MacBook Pros, which they call the new processor, Apple Silicon. And it's like, if you've used an iPad Pro as an example of from the last year or so, these things are just lightning fast. And I'm like, I want that, but I want it in a laptop form factor. I want to be able to have Final Cut Pro on this thing and do everything I need to do with Mac OS, but with the power of an iPad Pro. And it seems like we are on the horizon. It seems like we are on the horizon of this great new paradigm of MacBook Pros running ARM processors, and I'm very, very excited about that. Now, when it comes to software, I have been running all of the betas. I have the beta on my watch for watchOS 7, I think it's called, and then I have iOS 14 on my iPhone 11 Pro, and then I also have Big Sur running on that 2015 MacBook Pro. Let's start with iOS 14. Okay, so the big thing with iOS 14 is that they brought in widgets. You now have this new thing called App Library too, so if you were using your iPhone, you just had, like me, to be completely honest, if you're using your iPhone, you had just a crap ton of apps. I always just use Spotlight Search to find the app that I wanted to use. So I would drag down from the middle of the screen and I would just type in the app that I wanted. So if I wanted Facebook, I don't have Facebook on my phone, but if I wanted Twitter, I would just kind of scroll down, type in TW, and then all of a sudden Twitter would pop up. And that's how I use my phone. I use my Mac the exact same way. I don't really go into launch pattern and that stuff. I just go Command Space, opens up Spotlight Search, and I just search for the app that I want to use. So now they have this thing called App Library, which means if you have all these pages of apps, like a lot of people I know you do, and you're very disorganized, what you can do now is actually hide those pages of apps, and everything gets consolidated automatically into your App Library. And it's all done through AI, and like Siri, I guess, is figuring out and whatnot based on the names of the apps and the categories, and it makes folders for all of those apps. So I really like, I keep hitting my desk with my hands because I talk too much because I'm Italian. But yeah, if you have a disorganized iPhone, App Library is really good. The next kind of major thing, I guess, with iOS 14 is the widgets. Widgets are cool. They're interesting. I never really liked them on the iPad because widgets have been on the iPad for a bit, a hot minute now, I guess. But I don't know. The implementation, I guess, is interesting. You can have widgets on your home screen, or basically any of your app pages can have a widget on it. Right now, it's only Apple widgets, so it's like weather or your fitness app or whatever, and batteries, I guess. For me, it's been relatively boring. I don't really see the huge point of it. But it's an interesting step forward. It does make the phone feel a bit different in your hand. My biggest gripe with Apple and the iPhone in general has always been that it's a boring phone. Not that boring is always bad, but I've never really been creatively inspired so much by the iPhone, especially coming back from a Pixel. But you know, it's a good step forward. I think like any type of UI change or design change right now is needed and welcome with iOS. And so I think it's an interesting step forward. Now let's talk about Big Sur. So I've been running Big Sur, which is the new macOS. This is probably the more drastic change for a lot of people, and I think it'll have the most maybe conflicting kind of feedback once it finally goes public. But as of right now, I think it's a relatively stable beta. I haven't had any major issues with it, and any major issues that did happen have actually all been kind of fixed so far. So that's good. So if you've been kind of like hesitant about putting the beta on, I would say like go for it, but you know, your mileage may vary. The big thing with Big Sur though is that it does feel a lot more like you're running iPadOS or iOS now on your computer. And for a lot of people, that's a negative. I'm kind of indifferent towards it. The design itself, to me, I just find it was a bit dated. All the apps now have these like internal drop shadows, and it's got a bit of a skeuomorphism look to it, which is very, very annoying and dated looking, in my opinion. And we're also just living now in this like purgatory between iOS or iPadOS and macOS. And there's this like gray area between the two of them where there's a lot of overlapping features where a lot of things feel the same, especially from a design language standpoint. But then there's a lot of stuff that's so different that if you're someone like me who bounces between the iPad Pro and your iPhone and a MacBook Pro, with Big Sur and everything that's running, like there's so much stuff that's so similar that intuitively you go to do things that just don't happen depending on what device you're using. It's like, you know, Control Center is now on all of these devices, but they still behave relatively different too. Multitasking on all the devices is completely out the window and basically different too. Snapping windows and all that stuff doesn't really exist on macOS, but it does on iPadOS. And there's just a bunch of stuff like just design-wise where it's like, it's kind of similar, but it's not quite similar. And I just, for me, it creates a bit of a frustrating ecosystem experience. In isolation, I think they work fine. I think Big Sur even looks okay in isolation, but when you put it side by side with iPadOS or iOS, it just feels disjointed, and I'm not a big fan of that. This might change when these ARM Macs come out, because I'm assuming that we're going to start getting the rounded corners from the iPad Pro, that it's going to start seeing in laptops and probably the iMac as well. So the design language might make more sense. So all those rounded corners and those kind of buttons. It's time will tell, I guess, if we ever see like touchscreen on a MacBook Pro. There are some people that are saying because of the design in Big Sur and how big the buttons are and stuff, and like, you know, just like menu prompts when they come up, they just have these giant buttons that look, they basically feel like you could just go up and touch a screen to select something. But you know, it will have to be a brand new way of interacting with this computer, because it won't be iPadOS just running on a MacBook Pro. It's still macOS, but then you're introducing a touch layer. So that if you ever use like a Windows laptop with a touchscreen, it's a kind of a messy system, because it's stuck between a cursor and a touch. Whereas like on an iPadOS, the way they've implemented the cursor, it makes sense for a touchscreen. So they have to do like a backwards re-engineering for macOS. And it feels like they're doing it extremely slowly and easing everybody into it, because that would just be way too much of a drastic change for people to hit all at once. Currently, these betas are only for developers. So if you are a developer, if you're someone like me who just paid $100 to get a developer account because you're just interested in this technology and testing things out before everybody else, you can get those betas from Apple's beta program. And you know, if you're someone who just likes to tinker and have some fun with new things a couple weeks or a month or so before everybody else, definitely recommend it. If you're not, there's not a huge rush for it. It's not the biggest drastic change. It's just some cool new features that will probably like your phone. It'll probably, make you like your phone a little bit more, or your computer, or maybe you'll hate it and you want to switch to Android. It seems like more of my friends now are also starting to go back to work. I have my first few shoots happening in the real world starting in the next week or so. And I don't know, I have kind of mixed feelings about that, because we are seeing, you know, these COVID-19 cases rise in the States. The numbers seem to be going up rather than down. In Canada here, specifically in Ontario, it hasn't been as bad. And it does seem like we are still trending downwards, knock on wood. At the same time, though, there's just this like anxiety that looms over anybody, or at least it does for me, that, you know, I just want to be careful. I want to be cautious. I want to make sure everybody's taking the proper precautions. And so I'm just making sure any jobs that I take that we are, you know, adhering to proper social distancing, people are wearing masks and whatnot. And it's like, there's this whole conversation about masks and all this crap. And like, it's one of those things where it's like, just fucking wear a mask. I don't really understand why that's the high horse you need to sit on for this right now. During all the fucking shit that's going on in this world, like, you want to just get pissed about having to wear a mask? Get real. They look cool. They work. They are for everybody else around you. If you are a perfectly fit, healthy 21-year-old person who runs 10 miles a day, I don't give a shit. That mask is for the 72, 80-year-old person who has asthma or is going through chemo or is just immunocompromised. Wear the fucking mask for them and stop being a little ass about it. Like, seriously. But when it goes back to, you know, going back to work and whatnot, I think we have to get back to work at some point. It does seem like this seems to be the moment when we are starting to go back. And, you know, I'm excited to get back to work. But like I said, take the proper precautions. Make sure your sets are all on point and make sure everybody is feeling safe. And if at any moment you do feel unsafe, walk away. We're not, you know, like, for what we do, if we're out taking pictures or making videos or whatever, like, we're not saving lives. We're not frontline health workers here. There is no shame in saying, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this. So either put your mask on or let's get less people here or whatnot, or else I'm leaving. And that's fine. So if you are feeling hesitant or you have that anxiety, just keep that in the back of your mind and, you know, be upfront about it with your clients too. It's like, hey, this is how I feel. This is how I would like to work. And if you don't like that, you know, find somebody else. But hopefully we can find a way to work together on this, because obviously you want to do the job and you want to get paid and you want to do great work. On the YouTube side of life, I just put a recent video up about the Mavic Mini, one of my favorite little drones that's come out in the last little while. The video is performing incredibly well, so thank you to everybody that has watched it. I think we're about to hit 15,000 views already in a couple days, so that's one of my quicker or better performing videos that I've put out in the last little bit. But I'm enjoying the YouTube stuff. I did A-roll again, so I've made a whole new rig setup in the studio, so I've got the XT3 running. I got it all rigged up, ready to go. So basically, I can just be like, you know, let's start shooting a video. And I really have basically no setup to getting to shooting. And so over the weekend, we did some stuff. I got a follow-up to the Rode podcast video that we did with the iPad Pro. I'm actually recording the podcast right now with the iPad Pro, which is fun. But we got a follow-up. I'm working with Rode again. They sent a whole bunch of fun new mics. And we're going to do how to do interviews. And specifically how to do interviews on the go. So if you're mobily recording your podcast and you're running around, you just got your backpack or whatever. I think what'll be cool is like when things really get back to normal and like life is somewhat back to normal, and the fact that we can just like see friends and go to studios and hang out with people and go to offices and whatnot. I think this setup that I'm going to talk about in the next video is really cool, because like it could just literally go in your backpack or your camera bag, and you can set up a full, you know, two-person or even more if you really wanted to interview setup. So you could just like go to offices, go to people's locations and record podcasts right there and not have to worry about, you know, doing either a Zoom call or a Google Hangout or whatever. You can be there in person. And then, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but there's just a magic that comes from being in the same room as another person when you're doing an interview or having a discussion or a chat. And I think that that's just something that is fun, and I want to make it as easy as possible and remove all barriers to creation for people that want to record interviews for their podcast. Because the biggest feedback that I got on the podcasting video with your iPad Pro is, how do I record an interview? So this video that's going to come out, depending on when you're listening, it's going to come out in July. We'll talk all about how we could record interviews wirelessly too, which is a whole other thing that's really fun. But using basically just your iPhone, a couple of mics, and you are set. Speaking of discussions and interviews for the podcast, I have some guests lined up that I think you're going to be really, really excited about. I almost don't even want to tell you, because they're someone who I've wanted to talk to for a while now. They've made a huge, huge splash on YouTube, especially in short films and comedy in the last like 4 or 5 months, and on TikTok. And I'm just like, we're lining up the schedule, so I don't want to jinx anything. But I just want to say that like the next, I don't know if it'll be the next guest, but if these guys can come on, I think you guys can be really, really stoked. I'm super hyped that they might be coming on the podcast, and I will keep you updated and in the loop on when that possibly is happening. Because I think if you have questions, I'll definitely want to ask them your questions as well. So I'll do a thing on Twitter where you can kind of send in your questions for these guys. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this. This might be the guest that I'm most excited about so far that we've had on the podcast. And so I'm just going to put that bug in your ear, and hopefully it follows through. Other than that, I just want to check in with everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all killing it and billing it. You are living your best life. You're having fun. You are fighting the good fight. And I hope you're enjoying listening to Top Comment Podcast. Of course, Thirsty Thursday took a break again last week. I wanted to just get another interview up so that that episode with Kizer is out. A couple other friends are going to be coming on the show too, but Thirsty Thursday is still kicking. The Discord is kicking as well. Discord link is in the show notes as always. We have a really great community there. We share work. We talk about life. We talk about the world. And then every Thursday we get together, have a beer, have a kombucha, whatever you want to drink, a coffee, and we chat and have a conversation for about an hour. We have switched to Google Hangouts now, so there is still no pressure to be on video if you just want to listen in, if you just want to have a chat with us. We just kind of free flow, see what happens, and those are fun every Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So if you want to be a part of that, definitely hit the Discord link. But otherwise, my name is Patrick Tomaso. I hope you enjoyed this quick, short, and simple, just you and I podcast of Top Comment, and you will hear me next time I feel like making an episode. Cheers.